Madison, Wisconsin is as good as it gets if you are like me and you love the college sports.
This is The Jump Around with Jim Rutledge and Pablo Iglesias, outfitted by Iron Jock Apparel, streaming live on the ESPN Madison YouTube channel.
Dancing down the sidelines, can they catch him now? The Badgers answer instantly. There will be no undefeated champion on Wisconsin with an unbelievable stretch drive to the championship game.
Guarded again! Inside the five, touchdown! What a performance by Melvin Gordon!
Chucky Hepburn, Big Ten on the line!
Yes! It's over. The Wisconsin Badgers win 17-9. They are the first Big Ten team ever to win successive Rose Bowl games.
That is the best college sports town in America.
Jump Around, a Badger-dedicated show live on the ESPN Madison and ESPN Milwaukee YouTube channels. I am Jim Rutledge. It is the Halloween show, as I am decked out as my co-host, Matt Hamilton, and Pablo Iglesias is here with me as well.
Yep, this is just my normal getup. No, I am a meme reference from the hit classic film Mean Girls, or if you're also a big musical fan too, hit musical, but I'm Damien, one of the characters, an iconic scene. He was wearing the hoodie in the all girls like kind of chat where everybody was like doing the emotional dump and then screaming out, "She doesn't even go here." So that is me. It's a little bit of a last minute effort, but I'm big DIY in this. So I love this. I love that we're all dressed up, but we got to set the stage real quick for who else is dressed up too.
Riley Yauch, no quit in Riley.
Ah!
As Riley Yauch is dressed as none other than Luke Fickell. Who did the team for you? Did you do that yourself?
I did. I printed out the team in the Badgers font, as you can see, and taped it. Yeah.
I think I can already see from here that the T is starting to fall off.
Yeah, that's okay. You know, we just got to keep pounding the rock. It's a mountain to climb.
Big Daddy Kellner would be proud, Riley Yauch.
Oh, man, oh, man.
Big Daddy Kellner would be proud of that outfit. And that's where I want to get started today, because I heard Mark Chmura on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy talking about the Badger football program and saying, like, are they a serious program? Which got me thinking of the show Succession, where Brian Cox's character, who kind of plays the patriarch of the family, says, "You are not serious people." And that's the way I feel about the Badger football program, especially after Big Daddy Kellner came out and kind of backed the regime of Mack and Fickell. And pulling back completely, I was in on this team coming into this year. I was giving this team the benefit of the doubt until the Maryland game. On this show, I said multiple times, the Maryland game will decide how this season will go. If the Badgers lose to Alabama and then go play flat and lose to Maryland, the season's going to go sideways. That's what I said every single time we talked about this year, that that game would decide the rest of the year. I didn't think it'd be two wins, but if I'm a betting man, I'm betting two wins. I'm also betting the Badgers get less than 83 points in the Big Ten, and they're pacing to be well short of that. Yeah. 83 points is a number I picked, Pablo, because of Indiana. They scored 83, or excuse me, the Badgers once scored 83 points against Indiana at Camp Randall in the glory days. And the Badgers aren't going to score 83 points in the Big Ten this year is my prediction. Here's what Ted Kellner, some highlights from what Ted Kellner had to say. And one of them was, "The decision on whomever we have a coach should reside only with Chris McIntosh, and I think he's a very good athletic director." So, you know, let's just do that quick. Is Chris McIntosh a very good athletic director?
I would say no right now, because it goes back to the Barry Alvarez comment that caught some fire, of that fans are spoiled rotten. Then he goes back and, you know, backtracks his words a little bit and talks about more so of the reason, as an athletic director, that you don't want people to talk about you as the athletic director. You want people to talk about your successful programs. You want people to talk about that. I feel like more during this tenure, outside of a couple things with the national championship with volleyball, with how we've had a couple women's hockey championships and men's basketball starting to go on the up, we have constantly heard headlines surrounding how the programs are not in the best shapes, not just this, but also the women's basketball situations. And, yeah, just more and more outcries from different teams. And just it makes you wonder what the heck is going on. How is Mac trying to pretty much put out this fire, but instead it just feels like gasoline is being thrown on it?
Worth noting as we talk about this, Colin Wilder is going to be joining the show after we get through our rundown here. Very exciting for us. But the next thing here is there was nobody that was even close to Chris in terms of the resume. We hired the best person as far as hiring McIntosh. So off of, is Chris McIntosh a very good athletic director? I would say no. If you want to say, if you're Ted Kellner, and you can't say this, so I don't know why Ted Kellner did this interview, because nothing good is going to come out of it. Because if he just says, I think Mac deserves an opportunity to right the ship, which is the answer. If you want to say that, that's fine. And I'm talking about the football side of it. Because if you look at some of the things going on with the women's basketball team and the comments Mac has said around it, he's not a serious person as far as taking those allegations seriously. Because Mac should not have commented on that. Like, when he's asked about the women's basketball allegations and maybe upcoming trial, he should say, an easy out, that is, will be decided in the legal system. Those allegations are very serious, and we are taking them as serious as those allegations are. Yeah. That's all Mac had to say. In this case, Kellner didn't have to talk to anyone. But as far as hiring Chris McIntosh, I don't have a major problem with it. Is this very similar to Pat hiring Pat Richter, you know, this job moving to Barry Alvarez? Yeah. And Barry Alvarez obviously very familiar with Mac, and Barry wanted to handpick the successor to kind of keep things in line. Yeah, but two things can be true. It could have been the right hire at the time. We didn't know what NIL was going to look like. We didn't know what we needed out of an athletic director. And also it can be true that maybe it was a mistake. And I'm not there all the way yet, but we can't think at the time it was a right hire, but now it, in retrospect, it was not.
I feel like that it's the same thing we talk about with Luke Fickell, too, is that, yes, at the time, feels like it's the right hire, feels like the credentials are there, feels like that they went through the whole process. They did their due diligence, and I back that up. I felt like at the start, too, that Chris McIntosh felt like he was the right guy. If he's hand-selected by Barry Alvarez to say that this is the guy that I want to succeed me, then, hey, we'll take the word for it. Again, feels like right person, right time, but over time, it's now how do you continue that progression. Just because you're in the job, that doesn't mean like that's it. I could sit back and everything will be done for me. And I don't think that that's his process, but more so just feels like that we haven't seen a lot of good results. We haven't seen tremendous growth. And that's where I think it's everything just feels stagnant right now. And the thing that I question too right now, when you think about Chancellor Mnookin, not Luke Fickell, Chancellor Mnookin, Ted Kellner, and Chris McIntosh all seeming to back up Luke Fickell right now. And Kellner said a little bit of back and forth saying, I don't know if, like, I'll let Mac decide if pink slips need to be handed out. But it seems like three of the more powerful names when you think about who is in control or who has the biggest say in what keeps Luke Fickell here, I need to think about what do they know that we don't? What are the steps of progression? And I almost kind of think, too, what is Barry thinking? Did Barry think that this was going to happen? Did Barry think that this was going to be the next steps? But more going to those three powerful names in the Wisconsin athletics landscape, what are they thinking?
Next thing here, he had his thoughts on Luke Fickell, Ted Kellner did. And again, this is from Jim Polzine's story with Badger Extra. And if he, or excuse me, and if I'm the boss or the overseer, our chancellor or whomever, Chris is smart and he's good, and I believe that Luke Fickell is a good football coach. So let's ask that question. Is there evidence at Wisconsin that Luke Fickell is a good football coach? Luke, let's start with you, Riley, a.k.a. Luke Fickell.
Happy to have Luke Fickell in studio today.
I know I can give you some firsthand accounts. I think I'm a great coach.
Thanks, Coach.
Of course. At Wisconsin, we don't have any evidence that he's a good coach. Wisconsin has regressed year over year. First season 7-5, next season 5-7, this year looking like a 2-10 year. Are there some good players? Does he have some good young guys on this team? Yes. But, there's no tangible evidence that he's a good football coach as the head coach of the Wisconsin Badgers. And right now, he's still sort of hanging on to the fact that he made the four-team college football playoff with Cincinnati. And I think Fickell is a good coach, but there is nothing that we've seen so far that would indicate as such.
Same scenario. Like I said, you know, the resume is there, but now it's about how do you take those steps to grow? We haven't seen those growth steps yet.
Yep.
I agree. And then here's the part that worries me is it'll change a lot next year. That's what Ted Kellner said about the NIL. I don't know. I don't like counting on that. And that seems like a narrative that we're hearing from Mac, mm-hmm. that we're hearing from Luke. And I'll tell you what, as a Cubs fan, for the longest ass time, and Brewers fans can feel this now, wait till next year. Sucks. That's a terrible slogan. Wait till next year. No. You're a Power Four school. You're one of the worst Power Four schools. I understand
NIL. Arguably the.
I understand the NIL argument, but if Luke Fickell was better at coaching his team or better at recruiting his team, the team would have more wins. I'm not saying any. If they just won the games they were supposed to win and then split the 50-50s, I guarantee he doesn't miss a bowl game last year. And we cannot discount he's going from, what, 6 to 5 to 2? I don't care. Like, this is a multi-billion-dollar industry. It's a multi-million-dollar industry for Wisconsin. And you are held to a high-ass standard. This isn't some mom-and-pop shop where we'll just turn it around. Or if we are, then Badger fans should just be told that. Because if we're waiting around for a lawsuit that, you know, an agreement that... But here's the thing with that agreement, and I'm not going to pretend to be a legal expert on it, but let's say the Badgers go and they win their case for... Or actually, I should say if Xavier Lucas wins his case, and he says the contract's null and void, it's not a real thing, and none of this has really been figured out. Well, to me, that kind of starts to invalidate this deal they came up with. They didn't. This lawsuit isn't negotiated against the players. This lawsuit could easily be torn down. This is a lawsuit that, as part of a settlement for screwing over players in the past, they're trying to figure out a new way to screw over players, and this is kind of the way they're doing it. But I don't know if that's going to hold up. And I'm pretty confident it's not going to hold up for the long term. Maybe get some short-term relief. But nothing's going to be fixed until there's an actual conversation between the schools and the players, or the schools just put on their big boy pants and say, players, you work for us. We'll pay your health insurance. This is big boy football. You're going to work for us. And then anything you get outside of working for us, for your salary pay, quarterback gets X, wide receiver gets Y, and then anything out of that that comes from a business. So if Iron Jock says, hey, I want to have Billy Edwards as my endorser, they pay him directly. The university has nothing to do with outside of maybe helping out with contracts. Until that happens, you can't count on anything.
It goes back to what we've been saying. The brand issue is a lot bigger than just what the product on the football field is. It is hurting so many different things here in Madison across the board, and it's starting to show.
All right, let's move on.
We got Brett Roll, too, over here in the ESPN Milwaukee YouTube channel or chat saying, poor Riley. I think he likes your costume, but also feels for you. Just wanted to say that real quick.
Hey, I appreciate the love, but I'm chilling. I love my costume. You know, we're just going to find out who wants to be here. And it's a tall mountain to climb. I mean, I told you guys at the beginning of the season with this schedule, this is a mountain, and that's what we're doing.
I want to... Unfortunately, the webcam does not give you justice, but we could see Riley's... But like when Riley does that, you could see him flex. You could see like how like toned he is, like in terms of when you flex like that.
Stop.
So I really wish that the webcam did it more justice.
All right. Well, so was that part of your impersonation for Luke Fickell?
Yeah, I try. Yeah. I was literally listening to a press conference before I came to the station and just tried to find like the phrases that he kept repeating. Pound the rocks, a big one. Climb the mountains, another one. Find out who wants to be here. It's a long season. Got to find out how to win games. So I might just continue to recycle those as the show goes on.
I like it.
Well done.
Next thing here is because the Badgers say they're going to keep Luke Fickell, we're not going to do a coaching search per se, but we are going to do a little comparison. And we're just going to find recently let go coaches because every other program in college football holds themselves to higher standards than the Wisconsin Badgers. Brian Kelly from LSU, who coincidentally also coached at University of Cincinnati, is available. His resume, two-time Division II champion. He's won the Big East twice, won the SEC once. He has two Division II Coach of the Year awards. He has two AP College Football Coach of the Year awards, a Eddie Robinson Coach of the Year award, three-time Home Depot Coach of the Year award, Sporting News Coach of the Year award, Walter Camp Coach of the Year award, and three-time Big East Coach of the Year and ACC Coach of the Year, coached at Central Michigan, Cincinnati, and then I believe he went to Notre Dame and now LSU. And one, I love him at Wisconsin just to hear the accent that he would bring about coaching at Wisconsin.
Hey.
Brian Kelly here, really, really excited to be coaching those Badgers.
We get the UP
Wisconsin.
Boy.
Yes. Yeah, do you guys want to hear Brian Kelly?
Yes, this
with
is why
his
I'm making the joke here.
Southern accent.
Why not? So when Brian Kelly went to LSU, he brought this Southern accent out.
It's a great night to be a Tiger. I'm here with my family, and we are so excited to be in the great state of Louisiana, but more importantly, to be with you great fans.
It sounds like
it's
the
great night.
Foghorn and Leghorn. Well,
I do declare.
It's a great day to be a Tiger.
You're from Boston, man.
Yeah,
it's ridiculous.
What is this?
Yeah, dude.
He's from Boston. I didn't even know where he was actually. Where home is for him? Yeah. He's a Boston boy.
He ain't from Louisiana.
Eagle 1-0. Yeah. Love the Badgers. Gosh, cool. I love the Badgers. All right, so the question is, Brian Kelly, would Wisconsin be better off? The money, Big Daddy Kellner cuts a check. If Brian Kelly is coaching his team instead of Luke Fickell.
Crazy enough, I actually think Luke Fickell's the better choice here than Brian Kelly. I know the resume's there. I know everything that he did at Notre Dame is probably what stands out to you. But I also look at this of how his skill set as a leader, where he falls short. And I think Luke Fickell is closer to what more of like the modern day coaches are, what the younger coaches are, in terms of he knows how to push guys, but he also, I think, recognizes like the human to human interaction. Not saying that Brian Kelly isn't completely like inhuman, but it almost kind of feels like that it's like dictatorship versus leadership, I think, almost with Brian Kelly. Brian Kelly is an intense coach. Luke Fickell's an intense coach, but I think there's more of that human element there in terms of connections, in terms of working with recruits, in terms of building those relationships. If anything, I know it sounds crazy, and yes, you look at the resume, like I said, with Brian Kelly, but I would stick with Luke Fickell. I'd say it's Luke Fickell for sure.
Yeah, this is not even a comparison for me. I think Brian Kelly he definitely has a better resume than Luke Fickell. And may be a better coach, per se. But for all the stuff that's happened off the field with Brian Kelly, I don't want that guy anywhere near the Wisconsin Badgers.
Yeah, he's had players suspended for academic issues. And I believe, was it a videographer that died on a windy day?
Yes, he was directly responsible for the death of a kid.
Yes.
No thank you on Brian Kelly. No thank you.
And this is one of those times where I agree with you, and I think the Wisconsin Standard would keep Brian Kelly out. And you cannot repeat the mistake of Luke Fickell not working at Wisconsin to bring in another guy that on paper, on the surface, seems to everyone wouldn't work at Wisconsin.
I mean, genuinely, that's why I feel like guys at Notre Dame really are magnetized towards Marcus Freeman. And Marcus Freeman isn't alone, too. You look at the younger coaches and how, again, they're able to connect with the recruits. They're able to lead in different ways. It's not just you coach one guy this way and that's how you coach everybody. Sometimes you have to know what those interrelationships are. You have to know how to build and how to motivate. And it's like, how do you build these guys up versus kicking them while they're down? All right, and it's like, okay, I'm going to put my hand out. Now get up. No, you got to figure out how to build them correctly and do that because it's a different generation. It's a different way of football. And also, too, like, you know what? Kids are getting paid now. So it's like, if I don't like it here, I could go. So it's navigating through a lot of different things, and I just don't think Brian Kelly gets it now.
We're rolling out a new thing here on the Jump Around with Jim Rutledge and Pablo Iglesias. Riley Yauch behind the glass. Colin Wilder is coming up in a minute. Clip of the week.
Yeah.
And this week's clip is from none other than the Don, Barry Alvarez, who kind of backed up some of the things that I said. And for the life of me, I do too many shows. I can't remember if I said it here on Jim, Matt, and Molly, or excuse me, if I said it on Jim, Matt, and Molly, or if I said it here on the Jump Around, where I talked about one of the things Wisconsin needs to do is to get back to let's get some Wisconsin kids at Wisconsin. And obviously, I got some pushback on it, which was strange because when I look at it, you see Joe Thomas, Melvin Gordon, just to name a few, Jared Abadaris, Nick Toon. There's been a ton of Joe Thomas. I said Joe Thomas. A lot of players from the state of Wisconsin who are elite. J.J. Watt, T.J. Watt, Derek Watt. I mean, and let alone the Jack Stitchy or Leo Chanel's of the world, the Jim Leonard, the Mark Tauschers who were diamonds in the rough. But they also build the culture. They don't even have – they could be the Ben Stricklands of the world where they show up and they're just great backups, part-time starters, and they're the ones that recover the block punt against Minnesota that gets you the game on special teams. Like, it could be the guy that has one good game running the football. Brian Calhoun having one great season. He transferred back in to Wisconsin, but he's a Wisconsin kid. So
Marty Stray, I believe a few years ago, who was a captain, he was mainly a special teams guy.
Yeah.
But it was like, if that's your character and people and guys respect you, if you're named a captain and you aren't even necessarily a starter in the full-time starting rotation, I think there's some merit to that.
Yeah, and I think we're going to hear from Alvarez in a minute. So we'll talk about it first, and then we'll get to Barry. So in-state recruiting to me, and then we'll hear what Barry has to say on it, and then we'll move on, is incredibly important. Because, one, it builds the culture. You don't have to, and we're going to talk about this as the show goes on, you don't have to be from Wisconsin to get what Wisconsin football is about, but I think it gives you a competitive advantage. It's cheaper to recruit within the state and within the Midwest, but it's also, you're going to get guys who bleed the Cardinal white. And I'm not saying guys that aren't from Wisconsin don't do it, but they arrive, and you can. And if the program's going to have to run on a discount, which it always has, even under Barry Alvarez and Brett Bielema, they always were lower on the spending on facilities and things like that. So you had to find the Moneyball approach. And I guess that's the problem I have with Badger football right now, is they're not finding a Moneyball approach. They're trying to recruit like everyone else. A Moneyball approach for me is recruit linemen from here and recruit linebackers from here. Because we've talked about it before. All those quarterbacks and running backs, for the most part, across the state of Wisconsin, are not Division I athletes at quarterback and running back. But you know what they are? Division I athletes as linebackers in this defense.
Athletes.
They're athletes. They're just not athletic enough to be a quarterback or a running back at this level.
I have one quick thing. Whenever you talk to a kid that commits to Wisconsin, homegrown kid, the thing that they always say is that it's a dream, or this, I'm living out a dream, playing for the University of Wisconsin, a team I grew up with. Don't kill that dream. And I'm not saying, like, just do anything you can for a feel-good story, but it's more so of, if you then eliminate kids that are from the state, then that, I think, has the ripple effect from there, because then it shows, it's like, well, if the home state, if my home state team doesn't want to bring me in, then why should I care about the team and support them down the road? And then that kind of has that ripple effect from there of fans, of parents, of supporters across the board. It has more of a ripple effect, again, if you feel like you're just forgetting these in-state recruits and helping kids live out that dream and do more.
All right, let's hear our clip of the week.
So, and this may seem like a very basic question, but I think it's important to set this for everyone. Why was that so important for you to do?
Because the players here are as good as the top players here are as good as any in the country, and no one's paying attention to them. So you have a better chance. I mean, it's just common sense. You have a better chance at recruiting someone that lives a half hour away, or an hour away, or 2 hours away, or 2.5 at Green Bay, or whatever to Milwaukee. In state, they can drive here. Their parents can come here and watch them. And they're as good as anybody you can get. And your chances of getting one of the better players, best players in Ohio, Ohio State's going to get the first pick. And they're going to drive through the whole Big Ten area, the rest of the Big Ten to get to you. You know, and so your chances diminish the further you get away. I'm lucky to get a guy like Derek. Derek, that was an easy drive. You didn't want to go to Minnesota.
Amen, coach.
No, I did not want to go to Minnesota.
So,
amen,
right,
coach.
Right there is what Coach Alvarez is talking about, is Moneyball. He had a Moneyball approach. That's kind of what the colloquial term we put on it now. And Moneyball, if you don't know, is the movie and a book from it's about Billy Beane. The book is from Michael Lewis, I believe. And there's a movie made with Brad Pitt and Jonah Hill. The idea is, all right, the Oakland Athletics don't have the budget, but what they can do is find market inequalities and exploit those market inequalities and always having to find new ones. So that when people start following their lead, they have to find another market inequality. That's what the Brewers try to do. That's what the Badgers need to do, is that you have to open your eyes. They're never going to be. If they're dead last right now or one of the worst in NIL, at best, you're getting to the middle of the pack. So you're going to have to figure out how to be better and smarter in recruiting. And I haven't seen a lot from Luke Fickell that he's willing, and I haven't heard a lot about Luke Fickell being willing to put in the work with these high school coaches. I get it. Maybe you don't want your quarterback to come from here. Your running back, there's plenty of running backs from Wisconsin. But maybe not right now. I'm not going to pretend to know anymore. But I would say, look, if you want your quarterback and you want your corners and safeties not from here and you want your ends not from here, but you can get your big, beefy defensive linemen from here, the ones that you just recently recruited through the D2 or lower levels of bringing them up sort of thing, like that's where you find some of those kids. And the offensive linemen you can find here. And then if you need to, you know, cherry pick a few, make go after a couple of the big name guys somewhere else. But he's not wrong. And that's not going to change. If you're from Ohio State, if you're from Ohio and Ohio State's offering you more money and the same opportunity at a better football program, why are you going to Wisconsin? I mean, and so that's, here's the other part of it. There's no draft buzz here either. It's not like Luke Fickell can say, I'll get you into the draft. That's what Brett and Barry could say. Badgers used to lead the league in players in the NFL. A lot of them were undrafted free agents or backups, but they still had the premier guys. But they would get guys drafted. That third through seventh round was a sweet spot for the Badgers, yeah, with some first-rounders mixed in. Now it's like fifth and below with a undrafted free agents at best. And I don't know if Fickell's had a guy he's recruited to Wisconsin be drafted yet.
Mm-mm.
So they have to fix the in-state recruiting. Pablo, we got to move on because we want to get to Colin Wilder. So let's get to the Twitter portal.
It's time for the Badgers Twitter portal.
It is time to enter the Badgers Twitter portal. And my first Twitter portal, I don't even know what term it'd be, thing for you today is a clip from the Pat McAfee Show. Here's J.J. Watt on the Pat McAfee Show, a little dig from Pat McAfee on the guys on Wisconsin.
So, yeah, we're heading out there to the mighty Utah student section, the Must. They were electric the last time we were out there. Cannot wait to see the beautiful sights.
I thought you guys were going to go to Wisconsin this weekend.
No, that's...
All right.
That's only if they're big-time donors can maybe start getting some good-time players.
It's 4
last question.
Unnecessary shots in the donut shop over there. Calm down.
So, a couple of digs from Pat McAfee, maybe at Ted Kellner, potentially, and our donors. But J.J. Watt, he's brought up a lot when it comes to Wisconsin helping out the Badgers football program. Should J.J. Watt take a bigger role in helping out the Wisconsin Badgers football program?
First, what the hell was shot from the donut shop? I've never heard that before.
I've never heard that either.
I don't like
Peanut
it.
Gallery? Is that like, from the, yeah, is from he the, calling them fat? Yeah, donut shop?
Probably taking a dig
That's
at
a
that.
Good description of, like, he's a hell of a football player. As a broadcaster, JJ's got a long way to go. Mm-hmm. That was not good on the fly work. I think the shot was taken at JJ for not donating.
Yeah. Mm.
So, no offense to Pat. I just don't think he's in the weeds enough to know who Ted Kellner is.
You never know.
You don't know. But I would say this. On a full, like a forward facing, I don't need his money because I get it. Like, the NFL players make a lot of money. They do and they don't, because when you're talking about a guy like Kellner or some of these other donors, they have that money coming in at 85 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, JJ's getting paid here. Could he make a donation or a regular one? Yeah, and he probably is. JJ Watt, Joe Thomas, some of those guys are more valuable being ambassadors for the program.
It's not just about who namesake wise gives. It's about how much you're getting. It's like, yes, hit your big donors, but also don't forget about the other tiers, if you will. I guess you also need a large collective. You need a group to help contribute to, not just five people and expect them to consistently add on like as the years go on. You need consistency and you need a big group to do this.
All right. That'll do it. It's time to get to Colin Wilder. So that is it today for the Badgers Twitter portal.
Before we get to Colin Wilder, it's here. Steinhoffel's Black Friday sale. Jump on huge savings now with doorbusters like any size Sealy mattress for just $99. Dining tables and sofas for $4.99 and a queen bed for just $5.99. Plus, enjoy 36 months, 0% financing, on even more deals store-wide. Don't wait for Black Friday. Save today at Steinhoffels and steinhoffels.com.
So, and this may seem like a very basic...
That's...
It's here, Steinhoffel's Black Friday sale. Get a jump on the savings with amazing doorbusters and closeouts like any size Sealy, $99. A dining table, $4.99. This sofa, also $4.99. A queen bed, $5.99. And find even more incredible deals store-wide. Plus, take advantage of 36-month 0% financing. Don't wait for Black Friday. Save today. The Black Friday sale is happening now, only at Steinhoffel's and Steinhoffels.com.
And we are thrilled to be joined by Colin Wilder on the Jump Around. Colin, thanks for hopping on. We are obviously in costume. I am dressed up as my regular co-host on the show, Jim, Matt, and Molly. That is Matt Hamilton, the curler, known for his mustache, long hair, and he often wears jerseys to the office. And Pablo is dressed up from...
Character from Mean Girls, Damien, a very popular meme, too, typically, where it's like, she doesn't go here, just a guy wearing the hoodie with sunglasses off in the distance. Very, very much used... once in a while for, in the meme circuit as well, but also popular movie.
So thanks for joining us, despite the fact we look ridiculous.
Hey, I appreciate y'all having me on. Keeping the costume simple. I love it.
Yes, absolutely. Man. And Colin, you actually sparked a conversation pre-show of, because we're talking a lot about at Wisconsin. They got to figure out a way to moneyball their recruiting, like figure out how to get Wisconsin kids here and then don't let them out. But I wanted to... reveal that we kind of now are making a list, and you're going to be on it, of players who weren't from Wisconsin who played with the heart of someone that was from Wisconsin. Like that, like you, Chris Orr, there's a couple other guys that weren't from here, but you'd be shocked to know they weren't from here with how much heart they played with.
Yeah, you talk about buy-in, right? I mean, guys like me, guys like Chris Orr, who didn't grow up in Madison, didn't grow up being around Wisconsin football games, the environment, but still falling in love with the program, falling in love with Madison, falling in love with everything about it. That's a big deal just from the aspect of culture, right? You got culture of just relationships and really buying into what Wisconsin's all about. And I think a lot of guys like myself and other guys who haven't, you know, who aren't from Wisconsin and from the state, when you have those type of relationships, that type of culture, it's strong, it's contagious, and it got me. I mean, Madison is home for me. It's a second home, and when I was coaching there with Paul Christ and with that staff, when I went back in player development, I was prepared to be there for the long haul and call that place my home, really for the rest of my life. So, I mean, it was that impactful for me, and I wanted to go back and give every player the experience, at least half the experience that I got there. And that just shows how powerful that culture was at the time.
Colin, going off of that too, was the buy-in, obviously, yeah, you transfer here, you knew exactly what you were going into, but did it take a minute to buy in, or did you know that, no, I want to treat it this way, I want to embrace the W, even though I haven't experienced this firsthand, I'm coming into this, you know, talking to different recruits and coming into this, you know, as I transfer in. But again, was this a process that it took a little bit to buy in and really, again, know that, you know what, I'm going to wear this W proudly? How did that come about?
Well, it takes a little bit of feeling out the culture of anywhere you go. And when I transferred from the University of Houston, I mean, I'm from Houston, so, I mean, that was really my whole circle. And just seeing the difference in culture from there to the locker room to how the coaches treated you as a player to how they handled their business and their routines – it was a night and day difference for me personally, and that really helped with my buy-in. But then it just all goes back to the people, how they treat you, how the players are in the locker room, the relationships that get built that are kind of it's an unbreakable bond that you really don't get anywhere else. And, you know, that made it very easy for me to buy into. And it just goes back to the people and how they treat each other day in, day out. I mean, Paul Chris would go in and they would talk, and he would talk to anybody and everybody during warmups, before practice, whether it was the student manager, you know, holding the water bottles to one of the captains on the team. He was social. He was talking to everybody. And that's really how most of the coaches were at the time. So it was just a natural thing. And it started from leadership from the top down of how they handled building relationships with people. And relationships with people go a long way, and I think it goes beyond X's and O's that can also translate to success on the field.
With that in mind, one thing I wanted to ask is,
I won't name names, but like I talked to a lot of former Badgers, and they haven't had a lot of reach out from this program. I did hear it got a little bit better with Jeff Grimes and some of the running backs, but in general, how do you feel? And it's difficult for Coach Steph coming in that I guess chose not to have any ties to Wisconsin. They brought in their own folks to maintain the history at Wisconsin because it's hard to do from the outside looking in. It's not like you have to fill your whole staff with Badgers, but there seemed to be an almost purposeful disconnect. So how has that connection been to either yourself or other former Badgers that you know? How is the connection with this program to former Badgers?
It's just not the same. I mean, it's sad. And I don't expect Luke Fickell to reach out to me. I mean, I'm not Zach Bond. I'm not TJ Watt. I'm not JJ. I don't expect him to call me on the phone. But if you're the head coach and you got those big-time names being successful in the league, those are kind of one of my first phone calls that I make to build that bridge, build those relationships. And from what I've heard, he hasn't reached out to these guys as much as we think. And I've heard stories, too, of former Badgers who may not be the bigger names, but they come back to practice and some of the staff members are asking what they're doing there. And, you know, that's just kind of the disconnect that the alums have right now with this staff and led by Luke Fickell. And, you know, I don't expect to be, you know, having the red carpet laid out for me if I want to go back, but I want to feel welcome back. And right now I just don't. And I think that's for most of the alums, and that's really just the major disconnect that we got. And alum support for your head coach is a big deal. I mean, if you got Jonathan Taylor and TJ Watt and you got some of these other bigger names in the NFL vouching for Luke Fickell, having his support, that's another cushion that he can have, knowing that also these players and recruits are trying to come in, knowing he has that support. It's a big deal. And when you don't have that and you're not winning games, it's you don't really have much to fall back on.
Colin, what do you think is the biggest issue right now in terms of the brand? We know what the W is. Again, you've worn the W proudly, but genuinely speaking here, what do you think is the biggest thing in terms of what's been hurting the brand lately outside of just the losses and the program or the players itself, or more so of like how the team is performing itself? What do you think is the biggest brand issue?
That's a great question, because right now the program's not taken very seriously, right? I mean, when we were during the pregame for against Ohio State a few weeks ago, CBS was doing keys of the game for Wisconsin to beat Ohio State, and they couldn't even keep a straight face. They were laughing trying to name these keys for Wisconsin to win. That's just the state that we're at right now. But from a standpoint of beyond the wins and losses, I mean, the brand in itself, I mean, you're lacking, like what y'all talked about, some NFL talent. I mean, we don't really have a whole lot of that, which is based off of usually you got three or four O-linemen that are NFL prospects. You know, you always have a running back that's legit and that can go play at the next level. And then you have a solid defense, right? You always have a solid defense that you have more than a handful of guys that go in and get their shot in the NFL. And I think that's a big thing where we're not being taken very seriously either, is when it comes to NFL talent. And that comes with recruiting and it comes with development. And a big thing in development is what we don't see every day in the facility, how they handle these players, how they teach them the game of football, how they prep them in the weight room. I'm not saying those are the issues, but there is a development side that we don't see that's clearly a missing piece. I mean, I see corners and DBs right now that it's just simple scheme that they're just not understanding, and it's scheme that's repped over and over in the same it's the same play every game, and we still can't really understand how to be crisp in it. That's a development problem. Right. So we got to figure out how we can teach these kids the game and also get them prepared for the field. And that can translate right to wins and losses. But I think a lot of it is development and talent right now. We just don't really have that identity, even if we're losing ball games.
Yeah. And I agree with you on that. And I believe even in your day, I know Paul Chris talked about smart, tough, dependable. I used to joke that it's kind of describing a truck, but it's also how he described Badger football, and that was your brand, and it was obvious, and it seemed like they took that into recruiting. And I understand NIL makes it harder, but I feel like there's not enough strategy into the person, because even if you are coaching, if you don't have players who have buy-in, if you don't have players who are willing to listen, don't have players who think you can develop them, then it doesn't matter anyways. So it just feels like the Badger coaching staff, and I'm not saying they're doing this, is chasing stars or chasing who a recruiting service told them they should be getting, instead of, this is our identity, we're going to recruit guys who can play to our identity. Because I think if they did that, at a bare minimum, they'd be closer to 6 wins. Maybe they're not beating Ohio State, but they wouldn't be an abject embarrassment like they are. They're on pace for 2 wins this year.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And I think there's an aspect, too, of from our past, we've never gotten the best players. We never gotten the biggest stars. We've never gotten the biggest recruits, but we developed the right way. We found guys, like you said, that fit the mold of the culture. And if we're not doing that and we don't have the talent that we have, but we also don't have the development piece, then what are we, right? Like, we're not the old Wisconsin, but the excuse of not spending enough NIL, like, I get it. Like, that's a different day. This is a different day and age. You've got to be able to spend money to buy good players. But at the same time, we never got the best players. We had walk-ons that earned scholarships that ended up playing the NFL for a long time. Like, we developed guys the right way. And that's the piece. If you're not going to be able to get the right guys, or if you don't have the money right now or the past 3 years to spend on good players, well, then you got to get guys that mold into the culture and develop them. Like, that's what we've always done. We've never done it the same way as Ohio State or Georgia or some of these bigger programs. We've done it our way, and it's a different way. So you got to figure out how you can adjust to that and be creative with this new day and age NIL paying players, but also you got to have that developmental piece, because that's a piece that we've always had that we don't seem to have right now.
The last thing, we have one fun one for you at the very end, but I want to ask one more. It seems like there's a untapped potential. We talk about, you know, state of Wisconsin, maybe not owning your borders, which I still think always matters. But I feel like there's an untapped potential, and you kind of touched on it earlier, whether it's you or a J.J. Watt or Melvin Gordon or Joe Thomas or everything in between, of really tapping into the long network. Once a Badger, always a Badger. And if this coaching staff can commit to getting everyone who has been a part of this program to buy in, it might buy them some more time, buy them some more goodwill. Maybe they get recruiting tips. Maybe they get tips on how to be here. But it feels like the Badger alumni, from the blue chip athlete to, you know, a fan favorite like you, like, there is a untapped resource there. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I know that they're trying to get that support, and they're trying to get guys who may be from Texas and want to buy into the Wisconsin culture. We had a safety, actually, from my hometown, a safety recruit this past offseason that Coach Jack Cooper had me reach out to, which I appreciated. I felt involved. I felt like I could make an impact on the program. And so I reached out to the kid, and, you know, their you know, kids are might be handled communication a little bit differently, and they may not know who I am at this point, you know, from a Katy High School football player back in Katy. But, you know, I had an involvement in that, and I wanted to buy into that. So I felt special just from being able to give back to the program. It may not be through money, but I can give this kid a message of, hey, this is why I loved Wisconsin. This is why I wanted to be there. And this is why it was the best decision of my life. And I was trying to do that with this specific recruit. And, you know, even little things like that, like, I'm not the biggest name, but if you get guys who have made an impact and can make an impact on these recruits, involve us. We'll be happy to do it. But, you know, we also got to believe that this coaching staff is the right staff to develop these kids. And I know Jack Cooper pretty personally. I love him as a position coach. I know the players love him there. So I was willing to give him all the spill of how you can maximize your college career and college experience for this kid. So being able to do that for alums like me, we're happy to do it. We're happy to be involved, and we want to make the program better. But I don't know how often that's really going on inside the program.
Well, then the last thing we'll let you leave on a positive note. What was your favorite jump around memory when you were a Badger?
Oh, man. It had to probably be senior night, my senior year. I mean, it was the final game at Camp Randall, and we were in a dogfight with Nebraska at the time, and probably one of the best 3-win teams in history with Nebraska. I mean, Scott Frost was still there, and you know, they had a bunch of talent on the team. They just couldn't finish games, but we were in a dogfight with them, and going into the fourth quarter, I forgot what the score was, probably tied. And, you know, seeing that environment, you know, was a big deal. Then also, obviously, the first game against Penn State after COVID, that first home game with all the fans back. We had the stripe out. It was absolutely electric being able to have the fans back and everybody bought in. And that type of energy you want to have game in, game out. And, right now, you know, we're in a big struggle with our fans showing up, and, you know, we all want to get back to that, right? So, but those were some great memories, and I'll never forget those times.
Colin, real quick though, too, I was at the Nebraska game as a fan. I remember that one too. That was an electric jump around. That was a great game. Had a friend who was a Nebraska fan, so probably not the best Saturday for him. But you guys delivered the dub, so that was a fun game. I'm surprised you didn't talk about the Grit Factory. I think it's celebrating now its four-year anniversary, or it's 4 years. So, I mean, I remember when you guys created that. It was Halloween weekend. It was Iowa, man. You still repping the Grit Factory or what? We got it right here. It says CEO of the Grit Factory,
man.
Oh,
we still got it.
Yeah,
oh,
fantastic.
Still got it, baby.
Awesome.
Still
yeah.
got it. Don't worry.
I love it.
Yeah, we're rolling with it. It was one of the best memories, just from a fact of everybody was bought into the brand before it even showed up on the sideline. I mean, when I wrote the Grit Factory on the hat, and my buddies were like, you need to bring this in the locker room. I'm like, all right, yeah, I think the boys would love it. So show up in the locker room on Friday, and you got different guys wearing the hat. They're posing with the pic, they're taking pictures with it. I'm like, okay. And then Aaron Witt, who's still there, had the idea of bringing it on the sideline.
Okay.
And so I go up to Coach Snee and our strength staff, and I'm like, hey, can you bring this on the sideline during warmups? They're like, hey, we got you. So that's kind of how it all started. And you know, funny enough, we just had to produce and get turnovers. We ended up getting four. So it worked out, and it was just the perfect, like, right place, right time. You can't really predict what would have happened. And it was the perfect kind of branding for what happened. And, you know, that's the type of identity that team had, though, is whatever that we came up with, everybody was bought into it. And when you talk about identity, that's really what we want every year for these guys, to find their own identity, right? Be creative. Figure out what's your mentality and how can you apply it on the field. But no, it was awesome. And yeah, Halloween always reminds me of that, when I was going to get that trucker cap and be a Grit Factory worker. And yeah, we
it was the construction vest, right? I thought I remember you going into full detail with this. It was those neon construction vests.
Yep, we had construction vests. We had the mechanic suits on, and yeah, we hit the town with that for the night. And that Grit Factory hat was getting passed around the bars. And, you know, funny story, after the Wisconsin volleyball team won the Natty that year, I bring the hat to the KK, and it's getting passed around, and it gets to be around like 2 a.m., and I don't have the hat. I have no idea where it is, so I'm walking around like, hey, who has the Grit Factory hat? And they're like, oh, I think they have it. Oh, I think so-and-so has it. And I'm going around. I finally find it, and somebody autographed it. Somebody signed it. And there's just Sharpie all over the right side. I don't even know who the heck signed it. So I'm pissed. And because this thing still got to get used. And like, yeah, this thing is sacred at that point, right? So I had my mom take the hat, and she did, I don't know what she did, white out or some paint over it. And now it looks good as new. But I mean, that thing has been through a lot of memories there. And it's not just on the football field. It's hit some bars.
Oh, man.
That's an amazing story. Colin, thanks for that story. Thanks for all your time today. We appreciate it.
Yeah, appreciate y'all having me on. This was awesome.
Great stuff. We appreciate it.
Thanks,
Thank
Colin.
You. That is Colin Wilder. This has been The Jump Around, our Badger-dedicated show on ESPN Madison and ESPN Milwaukee YouTube channels.